After the great oops, it will work itself out. 3. What does a common sense approach to climate change look like? Commentary, September 28. Thanks to the author for bringing great clarity to the debate over the costs to Canada, and all other countries, of reducing emissions to achieve statistically negligible climate change results. It underscores how, like it or not, given the primacy of economic growth, climate change, along with other planet-ruining behaviors, will remain externalities until and unless someone comes up with a virtually cost-free cure. Underlying the slim but noble efforts of Trevor Hancock and other environmental advocates is this maxim: catastrophe is ecological. When and if the planet's living systems are sufficiently and irreversibly thrown out of balance to make human life and current economic practice untenable, call it the great oops, the harm to nature will end. The highways will be empty, our homes will be empty. Maybe a handful will survive, maybe not. Economy, given some human survival, will be limited to foraging for food. But look, that's in the future, and the future always takes care of itself. Jean Miller, Victoria. We don't need that many MLAs and MPs. It was with some dismay that I read about the taxpayers spending $300,000 to add 6 seats to the legislature. The growth in the number of MLAs is due to population increase and is truly unsustainable. One MLA represents between 40,330 and 67,216 people. These numbers are far too low. One MLA could easily serve 100,000 to 125,000 people, and we could reduce the number of MLAs to 50. The number of MLAs could be capped there until the population doubles. For example, Vancouver Island would be well served with 4 MLAs. 2 on the South Island, 1 in Mid Island, and 1 in North Island. A similar case can be made for the federal government to reduce the number of elected MPs by a significant number. Each MP represents about 120,000 people in 338 ridings. If each MP represented 225,000 people, we would need only 178 MPs. Significant taxpayer dollars are wasted under the current archaic system. To say nothing of the billions spent rebuilding the House of Commons in Ottawa. Michael Woods, Sonnetton. Heavy restrictions hurting communities. 3. Previous shopping area had a better mix, September 30. The reason for this unfortunate situation is that Saanich, like too many municipalities, restricts commercial activities to a tiny number of lots in the city, meaning that any new developments wishing to include commercial uses will necessarily replace other existing businesses. If we allowed commercial uses on more of our land, we could add to our communities without losing existing businesses. The same problem applies to housing. We force effectively all of our new multifamily housing to be built on noisy, polluted, dangerous arterial roads, which is where the majority of our existing multifamily housing stock already exists. This not only means that new residents are forced to live in an undesirable location which is hazardous to their health, Google the health effects of living near roads with lots of cars, but also that we maximize the amount of displacement that occurs with new developments. We can solve these problems by loosening the heavy restrictions we impose on land use, which would also bring about myriad other benefits. This is not a new idea, it's how cities were run for hundreds of years, and how many advanced countries still run theirs today. Jack Sandor, Victoria. Better rules needed for living in RVs. I have concerns about the new regulations allowing people to live in RVs, but only in rural areas. While this decision seems like a step toward addressing housing issues, it raises significant problems that could worsen the situation. Many people rely on RVs for affordable housing, but restricting them to rural areas without access to power, water, sewage, or transit is impractical and potentially harmful. Not everyone living in an RV has a vehicle capable of regularly transporting them for basic services like water refills or sanitation. Paying someone to come out to these rural areas is often out of reach. Without proper facilities, some people will inevitably dispose of their sewage where they camp, leading to serious environmental concerns. Moreover, where exactly are these individuals supposed to set up their RVs? Along the side of the road? Hidden in a bush somewhere? It seems that as long as it's out of sight, out of mind, the issue is being pushed out to rural areas without addressing the real needs of RV dwellers. Without designated spaces, proper utilities, or transportation, this regulation isolates and marginalizes people who are already struggling. The City of Nanaimo's recognition of RV living as a housing option is a positive first step, but the current regulations fall short. Safe, designated camping areas with access to power, water, and sewage, as well as transit options, are essential to making this policy viable. Otherwise, the policy risks doing more harm than good. I urge the city to reconsider and create regulations that support safe, sustainable living for those in RVs, instead of pushing the problem further out of sight. Geraldine Willerius, Nanaimo. We chose the people who act like children. We elect politicians, we get children. Letter, September 28. I agree with the letter after watching the Prime Minister and his Conservative counterpart in the House of Commons last week. However, we have a system of government chosen by people at activities called elections. We chose these children. And then most of us wipe our hands and declare, job done, and ignore the winner, seldom keeping their feet to the fire. Folks, look in the mirror. We are the problem, not the politicians. We have to vote to elect, but then keep our eye on their performance, let them know what we want and that we are watching. Voting doesn't absolve us from responsibility. Democracy is a participation sport. Cliff Bolt, Fernwood. Which are promises and which are lies? Provincial election campaign rhetoric. Am I the only one who is struggling to separate the pre-election promises from bald-faced lies? Guess we will have to wait another 4 years to find out. What we really need is a way to hold politicians accountable for their promises. Mike Wilkinson, Duncan. Tall grass along streets can be a safety hazard. Many decisions made regarding road adjustments in Victoria leave me perplexed. Blocking frequently used roads often leads to traffic jams on surrounding streets, creating a domino effect. Instead of addressing the issue, attempted additional fixes seem to be applied without recognizing the original mistake. Additionally, the installation of cement blocks forces traffic into unnatural patterns, seemingly micromanaging drivers in a way that often makes the roads feel less safe. These measures, intended to improve safety, instead foster confusion. Drivers are left unsure of what to do at intersections, their attention scattered as they try to absorb all the new signs, barricades, and regulations. Rather than enhancing safety, this approach creates more anxious, erratic driving. However, my biggest concern is the grass planted around crosswalks on Government Street near Chinatown. This grass has grown taller than pedestrians, and I fear it won't be long before someone, obscured by the darkness and grass, steps into traffic unseen until it's too late. With the increasing presence of silent electric cars and the grass blocking visibility for both drivers and pedestrians, we are setting the stage for a preventable tragedy. Nathan Wairoa, Fairfield. Send us your letters. Email. letters@timescolonist.com. Mail. Letters to the editor, Times Colonist, 201-655 Taiyi Road, Victoria, BCV9A6X5. Submissions should be no more than 250 words, subject to editing for length and clarity. Provide your contact information, it will not be published. Avoid sending your letter as an email attachment.